Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This NBA season, every shot you take with Fanatics Sportsbook puts points on the board. Earn up to 10% fan cash on your bets, win or lose. So even if your bet misses, you're still scoring fan cash, which unlocks exclusive rewards like authentic apparel, game tickets, and meeting legends at Fanatics events. Make the switch and turn every bet into a bucket with Fanatics Sportsbook. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or 1-800-522-4700. MD, visit mdgambling.org. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
What's good, Kansas City? We are back in the building. It is Players Only, like we come each and every Thursday, 6 to 7 p.m. I am Danan Hughes. You can follow me on Twitter at DAHughesGuy83. On Instagram, Danan Hughes. As always, the Jays Southwind Tow Service text line is open, 913-586-7610. 913-586-7610. That's the phone line and the text line. And we got a substitute. Amidst the World Series, we had to go to the bullpen. If you were listening to 610 earlier on Carrington's show, Barbershop was here earlier, and he had to leave. And we had to go to the bullpen. I tapped on my right elbow from the dugout, and we went and got another former Chief linebacker. Desmond Moses is in the building tonight.
Yes, sir.
What's going on, Des? Tell him who you are.
Desmond Moses, former outside linebacker. Played outside linebacker with Tomba, Justin, all those guys, man. Alex was my quarterback. Do a little bit pregame show on KCTV5.
Yep.
We still representing, man. We working.
Yeah, doing in the big. Another Jersey cat. So you got two Jersey cats. Forget about it. Who died and left you, boss? Here in the building right now, and I'm glad to have Desmond filling in for my brother, Sean Barber. Yeah. We give Barbershop a day off every once in a while. He's got six kids, and he does so much around the community. He does a lot of charitable endeavors, great job with the Chiefs ambassadors as the president.
Yeah.
So we won't give him too much flack. We appreciate him. But, Des, it's good to have you here in the building, man.
He's a busy guy.
As you mentioned, you are on KCTV5. I want to say this is, the third year you've been doing it?
It's my third season.
Absolutely. So if you guys are watching television before the Chiefs game, check out Desmond. Does a great job on the pregame show on KCTV5. I appreciate you having you here, man. And so each and every week we come, we got the text line open. We'll tackle some texts in the third quarter. So this is the first quarter of the show, and normally we utilize the first quarter to talk about the previous game.
Okay.
And take some the recap and some takeaways from that game. Well, we didn't play a game. We had a bye. And so I want to tackle real quick, and we definitely have the text line and the phone lines open, but I want to tackle the bye week, cuz so many things can happen during the bye week. We've seen, if you go back to Odell Beckham Jr., I think it was his rookie year or something, where they were on the yacht for the bye week of the playoffs. Not necessarily recommended to be on the yacht, especially with Timberland boots on and the way they was looking like Jagged Edge, like a R&B
video.
Group. Yeah, a rap video. You don't want to do all that. But in your experience with you and the pros, you had bye weeks.
Yeah, of course.
I'm gonna put you on the spot. Any craziness that you went through on a bye week or during those times where you had extended periods off, where coaches it's a coach's nightmare to release all the cats to to the community and wherever they go, to Miami or overseas or whatever, because they get very few opportunities to get away.
Well, it's funny because you asked that. I had an interesting story on one of my bye weeks. This was my fifth and final year, my fourth year here with Kansas City. You know, we went into the bye week, I believe, with a win. You know, we're celebrating. I'm down Miami. I'm taking it easy. I'm out the way, but get a call, man. Kansas City Chiefs, man. I got cut on my bye week.
Oh, my goodness.
That's the toughest bye week you could have.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
That's rough.
You lose your job on your day off, you know?
It's the epitome. The epitome of you was Smokey from Friday. You was Chris Tucker from Friday. You got fired on your day off. Ice Cube got fired on his day off. Dang.
Tough, man. So my vacation, it turned over pretty quickly, man. Went from a good time to, you know, back to business. But other than that, man, generally I like to, you know, take that time to help, you know, do some rehab, try to get your body recovered so you can finish off the season. Hopefully that bye week comes later on in the season, about halfway through, to where you can use it as a checkpoint, get yourself together and finish the season strong. But that was a tough year, man. It was a tough year.
Before people kill me on Twitter, I had no idea about this story. So I'm sure there's going to be people out there on the text line and on Twitter that says, Damon, how are you going to invite somebody in here to relieve Barbershop, and the first thing out of your mouth is the sorest time of his career where he got cut tough on a bye week on his day off. Dang, Craig.
Tough.
But you know what? It's interesting because a part of that, the bye week, that I don't think very many people understand, and I got a chance to talk with the coaches today, as everybody knows, or hopefully everybody knows on these airways, I do the broadcast with the Chiefs. I'm in the booth with Mitch Holtus. And we call the game every game. We talk to the coaches during the week in preparation for the game. And you speak with coaches and the self-scouting that goes on during the bye week. So it's not
huge.
It's not about days off. There's a part of it that's about days off and recovering. You got a 10-game stretch coming up that you got to get ready for. No time to breathe. Just go. But yet... there's evaluation that happens. And oftentimes during the regular season, as you go week to week, game to game, Thursday night, Sunday night, Monday night, whatever, there's not enough time to really evaluate your team.
Yeah.
But each organization has, in the back offices, they have their own self-scouting department. Scouting department that focuses on internal. Mm-hmm. So tendencies. So for instance, like when we used to study film and evaluate opponents, there was a department that actually evaluated us.
Sure.
And they would say, okay, when Danon's in the game, you know, there's a high percentage time is going to be a run play. Or when Danon lines up this place or has his inside foot up, or this is the tendency that we have on third and short. And third and medium.
Yeah.
So you have self-scouting that goes on behind the scenes. So it's not just about what you're trying to accomplish against the other teams.
Right.
It's about the organization recognizing that there may be things, tendencies that Andy Reid has, that Eric Bieniemy has, that Steve Spagnuolo has, that they don't even realize
right.
that they have. There may be ways where players break the huddle or line up. That will tell other teams that, yo, this is not a pass play. Like, McCole Hardman came out and he walked to the line of scrimmage. They ain't over. This is a run play.
We used to have keys all the way down the guy's fingertips, fingernails. You know, if this guy had his heel up, heel down, you know, hands on his hip. Guys do things unconsciously, you know, when they're trying to prepare to do a certain movement. And as a professional, you study these week in and week out. But like you just said, the team does that as well because – now they're trying to build those counters going into the second half of the season so that they, you know, those teams that have been seeing those same things,
mm-hmm.
now it becomes a liability and something that could become a big play for Kansas City.
And you know, there's a lot of gambling that goes on in sports. And when you talk, I love the movie Rounders.
Mm-hmm.
And there's tells that guys have. And for all those people that just enjoy the game of football, there's an aspect that you and I can't enjoy
sure
because we see all the tells. We watch the game differently than the general fan, and it makes it special for us because it's almost like a chess match where we're able to call plays. Like, I can call a play if you give me film or you have me watch the game tonight by the third quarter, I can call some plays that are happening. I can call some coverages for sure. Like, they've gone away from the disguising that they started the game with. Like, you know, you get all amped up in the beginning of the game and you trying something different, making something look different. My feet are different. My eyes are looking somewhere else. But what happens? As you get tired,
fatigue
sets in, and you get back to the normal you.
Yeah,
and
you want to do your job. Yeah, make sure you get it done.
Exactly. So now I can – so if I'm watching the second half of the game, just like when I was playing, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's man coverage. Oh, that's bump and run.
Right.
Oh, he's going to try to jam me. Oh, he's going to bail. All the safety's coming down. Or they're going to blitz because this guy is creeping up to the line of scrimmage, or he's looking like he's not going to creep up to the line of scrimmage, and he never looks like he's not going to do it. So he must be doing it right now. So the self-scouting part.
Yeah, because it takes energy to disguise all of those things, even as a linebacker. You know, we want to come off the edge, show that we really got two. It's like, okay, that's a nice little, you know, mindset in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
Now my legs are fried. Can I get back in position to make sure I do my job once the ball snap? And that's what guys start to think about later on in the game.
Yeah, all so that dancing and stuff, it starts to slow down later in the game. But my back to that original point, though, about the self-scouting, because this is a very important part of the season that I think probably goes under the radar to a lot of fans, because the self-scouting that comes in could – and like in your case, and unbeknownst to you and unbeknownst to me before this conversation, could get somebody cut.
For sure.
Could get somebody moved to practice squad. Could get somebody moved down the depth chart. Because during the season, because every week is routine and it goes by so quickly, coaches don't have enough time to say, well, dang, Danan, you know, such and such, Ron Dickerson that's behind Danan, he probably can play better. Let's go ahead and put – no, Danan has his package of plays, and he has his special teams and blah, blah, blah. We're just going to keep it going. But then during the bye week, they look at all the film and they say, you know what? Well, you know, that cat ain't covering punts like he was early in the season, or he's –
well, that package is limited. Yeah. You know, we could do without it. We might be going away from that.
Going away from that package, or somebody else that's playing strong.
Coming on.
In one other package. Mm-hmm. Well, we can add him to this package. A perfect example – is to me is Nick Bolton.
Sure.
Last year, how he was coming on and off the field, and when there was an injury, he stepped in and he led the team in tackles and this and that. But then when the players got healthy and our linebacking core got healthy, he was still a package guy.
Yeah.
And but they saw enough in evaluating and say, you know what, we're going to get rid of Ben Neiman and these other guys, because we're going to put the green dot on Nick Bolton, and we saw enough that we self-evaluated and said this guy can handle more of that package. So it's going to be interesting. I bring all that up because it's going to be interesting to see. The Chiefs under Andy Reid have been absolutely phenomenal when they've had extended breaks or after a bye week. And so that dynamic works really well when you talk to the coaches and they say, you know what, we had – part of the week off, but we had extra couple of days that we had to come in and evaluate the game, the previous game against the Niners, start on the package for the Titans, break down our internal scouting, and then they were able to get a break and have 3-4 days off before getting back to their routine. So for all the fans out there, if you wonder what players do, like Desmond, he was down in Miami chilling. For me, I was here. I had 1, 2, 3, 4 kids in that kind of order while I was playing. So there wasn't really opportunities for me to travel away with school-age kids and stuff like that. So it was more just a chill-out time and rehab and stay in a relative routine during the bye week. But there's never been, outside of your story, there's never been any truly detrimental negative stuff that I've experienced. I played with a lot of characters, DT, Andre Rison, a lot of guys that were socialites. I'll say that socialites, I was never part of anything that was brought any negativity to the team. Like you were irresponsible or extra irresponsible during the bye week that could hamper the rest of the season. You never had that with any teammates or anything like that.
No, I mean it's, you know, that's a time where a lot of guys. Hey, they're looking out for one another. You know, if they do travel, it'll be 3-4 guys in a group
together,
to where, you know, there's to some support and making sure, you know, no one particular guy is getting out of control or, you know, doing anything that could jeopardize the second half of the season for the team. So that's the cool part about it. You also get to build that camaraderie with the guys while resting, you know, getting that recovery. So there's upsides to it. But for me, you know, the moral of the story was stay out of Miami.
So needless to say, Desmond has never been back to Miami because of just landing in Fort Lauderdale or Miami brings back sore memories.
Like I'm traumatized.
No South Florida visits. All right, when we come back, we got this first quarter over, second quarter coming up. Y'all know if you've been listening for a while what the second quarter brings. Spitting fire, hot fire takes, and we got a couple of good ones. Dan, we see you on the line. We'll get to you in quarter three, but we'll be back in a second.
My name is D-Nice. Taking out your something that you don't know how I did it, yo.
Bono looking to pass the football. Throws in the middle. Pass is cut. Touchdown, Kansas City. Touchdown, Chiefs. Touchdown, Chiefs. Danon Hughes took the bullet over the middle from Steve Bono.
First and 10 for the Chiefs at the 14 of the Steelers.
Halfback pass. Marcus Allen right side. Touchdown, Kansas City. Danon Hughes from Marcus Allen.
Expert analysis, news, and views from Chiefs Radio Network color analyst Danon Hughes.
This so-called number one defense in the NFL that hadn't played anybody during the last part of the season, and we showed who was the best team on this field and deserved to host another AFC championship for four straight years.
But you can call him D-Nice.
Just call me D-Nice. My name is D-Nice.
And we're back. Players only, second quarter of the show. Teamwork makes the dream work on Players Only. Barbershop is out. Desmond Moses is with me. Left his mic on. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 text messages. Hot mic alert. Appreciate the love. Appreciate the support. Appreciate the fact that they didn't want us to say anything to put our foot in our mouth. But I think we escaped.
Yeah, we did.
Any danger. So, appreciate that. As I mentioned, Desmond Moses in here filling in for my man Barbershop. Desmond, how can they follow you on Twitter and Instagram?
Yeah, Twitter, Instagram, both at DezManM. So Desmond M.
All right.
Check me out.
Check him out. Does a great job on KCTV 5 pregame shows. And as you know, you can follow me on at DaHughesGuy83 and Danon Hughes on Instagram. The Jay Southland Tow Service text line is open. But as you know, each and every week we come in the second quarter with the hot fire, spit fire takes. And Barbershop's not here, so I'm going to lead off. And Desmond, if you got something that comes to mind or you want to chime in on my hot fire take, feel free. I don't want you to feel any pressure. You know, you're a rookie. We try. I didn't want you to have to stand on the table and sing your fight song like rookies normally do, but we'll just take it easy on you.
I stay ready, so I don't have to get ready.
There you go. I like that. I like that. So my hot fire take, I got into a back and forth with several people on social media over the last few days based on comments that Stephen A. Smith made regarding ownership in the NFL and that it should be, and I'm not quoting specifically, but ultimately it should be mandatory that if the Washington Commanders sell, that the owner, it should be mandatory that it's a black person. And before I get to my comments and how I added into it, Facebook is very revealing.
Sure.
It's revealing to people who you may call friends, people who you think are, that they are just people that you know, neighbors, etc. But when the Twitter thumbs or the thumbs get going,
courage.
You get the real. You get what's really. So they might smile in your face and be for you and for you and your family because they know you.
Mm-hmm.
But what they don't know your cousins, they don't know your other family, and some of the comments that can come out in certain situations can be negative towards those other people.
Sure.
So my comment was revolved around the fact that I don't think that this should be dismissed as easily. And you got all the people coming back, this is racism. No, it's not racism. Just because you point out race does not make your statement automatically racism.
Right.
Right? I can point out something about women does not make my comment sexist.
Right.
It just
or
means
you sexist.
Or me sexist. Right? So the reason why, just so I clarify it, and if you follow me on Facebook, great. You can see the chain. Just so I'm clear, it should not be dismissed. And here's why. Because if you have any corporation, any conglomerate that has not allowed any certain entity to have ownership, while the workforce in that conglomerate is over 70% of anything, there should be a push. And it should not be dismissed that if something opens up in that conglomerate, that that workforce be represented.
That's fair.
Especially if you have not allowed it. Now, it's not, it's one thing that if they can't afford it, but history has told us that the NFL, the way it's structured, the way the other owners get to vote on who comes in and all the antitrust and everything else, that there have been opportunities, the Carolina Panthers, when the Commanders were sold, when the Vikings were sold, there were other teams, there were expansion teams, and yet there was never an opportunity for black ownership that really came even close to fruition. So for someone to say that it should be mandatory now, I feel like it should not be dismissed. And there's a lot of people, so-called friends, that dismiss it and call it racism because that's lazy, and that's a lazy take, and it's an irresponsible take because anytime, whether, you know, we can get into other stuff in race in our country, et cetera, and I don't want to go too deep into it because I want it to still filter around this.
Right.
If you have any entity, if there was a conglomerate of something that women partake of, let's say women products, or makeup, or whatever. I don't, you know.
You probably should have some women representation.
Exactly. And if there hasn't been, and never was, and never has been allowed to, then at some point,
right,
there should be a push and a mandate to allow that to happen.
For sure.
That's it. Like, you know, it's not rocket science. It's the nature of the beast in what was created and the workforce thereof. So if you have, like I said, if you have a cosmetic conglomerate and there's a bunch of women in the workforce doing X jobs and yet no ownership representation, then there should be something or someone that steps in and says, you know what? This entity has never been allowed to.
Mm-hmm.
Not that they haven't qualified, not that they don't have the money. They've never been allowed to be in that fraternity or sorority in that case.
Right.
We should make something happen. And just so people understand, most, if not all, of the change that's happened in this world has happened because of backlash. It's not, there hasn't been a smooth transition of anything that has required change. There's always something. So when Stephen A. steps out and says it should be mandatory, that's pretty much similar to what people have said in history when things have been made changes, when you had integration of schools, when you had Jackie Robinson, when you had, you know, the first athletes in any sport. It wasn't like they just allowed, hey, come on in.
Right.
Like,
right.
It wasn't that. It was some kind of door. It wasn't about knocking on a door. It was somebody that took a battering ram and knocked down the door and took some of the backlash. And the fact that we're here in 2022 and people just don't understand, people are not willing to at least embrace that, oh man, this is a, you mean all these black athletes, 70 something percent or more are in the NFL and nobody's had ownership, and there's been people that have wanted and they have not been allowed to, and they have the means to do so.
Yeah.
And how people don't say, okay, 2 + 2 = 4. Let's go with common sense as opposed to some inherent bias that they may have in thinking that something's automatically racist just because you're talking about a race.
Well, here's my take. You know, for me, racism or whether it's racist, it surrounds one thing. You know, does this promote equality? And for me, it does. There's a balance that's been way off, you know. there's a number of or a certain group of people who represent the entire face of football ownership. So I think it might be time, you know, to mandate it. And no, it's not racism, because it does promote that equality. And that's what we need, you know, not just in this space, but especially in this space, you know, because these guys, it's a huge industry. It only makes sense to have representation in a comfort level for everyone.
Yeah, I got a text line. Normally we get to the text line in third quarter, but I'm going to tackle this because this is on this point. From 913, so if a white guy came out and said a white guy should be the one to own the team, you wouldn't say that's racist BS. You're all lying if you wouldn't say that. If you listen to the content of what we said, any workforce that is represented by any race or gender to the extent or to the highest percentage as it is, while never having anybody own in that conglomerate, never and hardly having anybody as a GM.
That's new.
In that,
I believe there's only three
in that
them?
Conglomerate, yes. Should be at the it should be a premium that if they have the capabilities for to diversify, to have diverse representation, that should be at the premium of that conglomerate. Period. Don't put insert white person, insert black person, insert woman, insert Asian, insert anything. It's all the same. It's very uniform. And we're talking about not a startup company. We're talking about the NFL that has been around for 60 plus years.
Yeah.
And never having any of that representation. So to be here in 2022, and if Bob Johnson or Oprah or whoever else that are atop of the Forbes 500 or whatever it is, in as far as the richest people, and they have the capability, that they should not be just stopped just because. It should not. It's right. Time. Like, at some point, it's got to be time to break that mold.
Either and, that, or they got to change the process to where it's not a boys' club type deal, and it's not the rest of the guys.
Yeah. We've had women owners.
The
Rams had a woman owner. We have every other race that has been represented as ownership. But for some reason, as far as a majority owner, NBA has done it. We've seen GMs and presidents of Major League Baseball teams, but for some reason, not in the NFL. So not to get too deep into it, I know we got to go to a break, and I'm sure there's some text messages that will come out. But again, just because you mention race does not make you racist, does not make you anti any other race because you're talking about something that is as glaring as the NFL and black ownership. So when we come back, that's halftime. It's we're players only. I am Danon Hughes. We got Desmond Moses in here. Dan, we're going to get to you first when we get back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Other sports books just don't hit right. But FanCash makes switching to Fanatics easy. Only Fanatics gives you up to 10% FanCash back on all bets, win or lose, which you can use to unlock the world of Fanatics. From more bets and game tickets to signed memorabilia and one-of-a-kind experiences only Fanatics can offer, switch to Fanatics Sportsbook and let the FanCash roll in. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. MD, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Were you trying to get crazy with this, eh? Don't you know I'm loco? Loco.
And we're back, players only, third quarter of the show. Just had our halftime drinks, them orange slices. What was your go-to on halftime?
Definitely the orange slices. I was a big dog. I used to go get me a hoagie. You know, so
oh, really?
From Jersey, I have a half of a hoagie in there.
Ah! So you had a sale. You had a meal during halftime. There you go. I like it. I had a bad stomach, man. I still got a bad stomach. I had, like, ulcers when I played and stuff like that. So I drank a lot of Sprite and ginger ale. But I had a terrible diet too, so that didn't help it either. But we got the phone lines and text lines open. Third quarter of the show. Let's start it off with Dan. What's good, Dan?
Hey, Dan. Hey, Desmond. How you doing? Yeah, I'm looking at the old Chiefs games from 1980. You won with the Chiefs first game when they beat the Steelers and they stripped Terry Bradshaw, Frank Monolita. Stripped him and Thomas Howard picked it up and went 65 yards. And the last game they played at old Metropolitan Stadium when they beat the Vikings 10-6. I'm looking forward to game Sunday. Looking forward to Chiefs to stop Derrick Henry and Desmond. I remember 2013 very well when Chiefs finished 9-0. And you lost that tough one against the Colts. Had you beaten the Colts, you would have gone all the way. Take care of yourself, guys. Have a great show. Take care.
Thanks a lot, Dan. We love your energy. Dan is the necessary boost we have to have midway
going.
Through the show, right after halftime. You know, you need to have that first drive of the second half where you can reestablish the momentum. Dan is like that guy. He's always on point. Appreciate you, Dan. We got Big Jax. Big Jax, what's happening?
Oh, man. You know, I definitely appreciate you two guys as my first two guests on the All Four Quarters show live from the Dak Shop.
Yes,
downtown.
Sir.
So yeah. I appreciate so much, man. It was so good to meet Desmond, man. I had never met him before that, man. And, man, what a good guy. I love the fact, you know, me and Danon goes way back. So, man, I sure appreciate y'all. Of course, Bill Moss will be out with me tomorrow night down the stack, man. If you got a good chance, come on down.
I might pull up, give me some of them wings.
Yeah,
oh,
right?
Man, for sure. Hey, get this catfish, bro. It's awesome.
Oh, yes. For real.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yes, sir.
But I tell you what, man, as far as your hot spit fire, boy, that's for real right there. Like, the idea that there's no African-American representation in the ownership in the NFL when you got 70% of the workers in the league are African-American is ridiculous. And like you said, it's not because they just ain't never been able to afford it.
Mm-hmm.
They've been able to, the old boys club, to be able to decide whether or not they're going to let somebody in. So if that's how it is, then the idea that we should demand that they let somebody in that represents that particular segment of their workforce is not unreasonable in any way, and it's not racist. So, man, I appreciate y'all for spitting it out, man, and I love y'all, man. I'll holler at you later. Yeah.
Appreciate you, Big Jax. Right on point. Again, this is an entity that has not allowed people. It's not like you. People might say, okay, the NHL. Well, there's not been, to my understanding, there's not been any black ownership group that has desired to own an NHL team. So where there's no smoke, there's no fire there.
Right.
But in the NFL, there has been.
Sure.
And if you add in just ancillary things about how these organizations are spiraling downward with the Commanders and the sexual assault and the racism and the sexism and all that stuff. And then what went on with Carolina. And then you had with the Clippers and the NBA. Like, it's not like all of these owners, I'm not saying all of them are, but I'm not saying it's not like all 100% are above board, top shelf individuals. Right. It's not like, you know, that we don't, that there's an ownership group that just doesn't pass the you know, pass a test of integrity that is trying to get in. Desmond, you and I were talking about it off air where we talked about like Mr. Hunt. I'm sure he knew more than eight other millionaires when he started the AFL.
For sure.
But there was some cats, he's like, nah.
Stay away from them guys, you know. Can't do that. He's a little, you know, sporadic. He chose guys who he thought were responsible and could handle it, the start of it, and obviously he pulled it off.
Yep. All right, we got the text line. Dez, which one you see?
A list of minority people who have applied to buy the NFL team and have been denied. 816. This is, you know, Dana, we talked a little bit about it. You know, there's the Steph Currys and the Jay-Z's, black groups who have come together. In this particular case, we're talking about the Carolina Panthers, come together to try to purchase this team. And, you know, you talked about it a little bit earlier to it and alluded to it that, hey, they were denied for no particular reason. Yeah. This particular group of minorities, they would have been majority owners. There was nothing that stopped them from owning. They could afford it.
Yeah.
Clean group, you know, everything they stood for, everything aligned with the NFL, and still these guys weren't able to make this deal happen.
Yeah, and I got somebody that from the 816 that wants to talk about when a conservative like Rush Limbaugh attempted. Okay, I don't even know who's discriminated against. So let me be clear. If Rush Limbaugh was his own CEO of an oil company or Amazon or something like that and didn't have controversial, you know, a controversial history in regards to the media, probably would be entertained. Just like Mr. Hunt probably could have tapped into eight other millionaires to be a part of the Foolish Club if you don't know the history of the Chiefs. I'm sure Howard Stern and other people probably would have liked to have ownership, but they probably don't get considered because of the nature of their jobs.
Sure.
That's okay. Like, to me, you got to take that into consideration if you're trying to build a conglomerate like the NFL. But if you're building a conglomerate like the NFL and your rationale for not allowing a certain sect of people is just because they are not of the same color, then that's wrong. And that's history has shown that. So all the arguments about reverse racism and all that you can miss me with all that because that like that doesn't have any standing with the conversation at hand in regards to the workforce, the history, the willingness and ability to. Someone else from the 785 asked about African American ownership groups. There are and have been, Desmond, you just mentioned that, that have been in position to do so, and they just haven't had that opportunity. Now, I know a lot of you, they make the excuse of, I tune into the shows to hear sports. So we're going to talk about sports. That is sports. Ownership and all that is sports. But we do have football that's coming up.
Yeah.
Well, let's tap into this Chiefs team after a bye week, Desmond. I want to get your perspective in regards to where this team has been. People may not recognize this is the first team in NFL history to have to play eight consecutive games to start the season against teams that have had winning records in the previous season, and we are 5-2. Tyreek Hill is gone. The offense is moving along as good, or maybe even better than it was. I saw a stat that said Patrick Mahomes is having a better year this year in the first seven games than he did last year in the first seven games, and multiple of the turnovers on offense and the interceptions that were attributed to him were because they went off the hands of Tyreek Hill and other players. Sure. I've said it before. He had 13 regular season interceptions last year. Six of them went off both hands of the intended receiver into somebody else's hand.
It's a heck of a stat.
And it's unfortunate that he has to wear that stat as his interception, because as a former wide receiver, if it touches your hands, it should be caught. No excuses, no ifs, ands, or buts. But where do you see this team as it is right now as they prepare for the Titans?
I see them in a really good position. You know, I talked a little bit about it. You know, I was critical of the Chiefs coming into the first few weeks of the season. You know, I thought their offense just wasn't strong enough. I didn't know if they had the receiving core to supply Patrick, but these guys have come on. And I think part of the slow start might have something to do with the preseason and the lack of games that these guys play, obviously getting into condition. So I think now they've kind of put that thing in a third and fourth gear. You're seeing Kansas City not only offensively, but defensively. I think they're hitting their stride. Special teams still needs to clean it up a little bit. But, you know, I think going into the second half, Kansas City's a team that could potentially go the distance again. Obviously, we're in Kansas City, but this team has all of the pieces that they need. Skylar Moore is a guy, you know, we're a little worried about. We talked about, should we move him, get a guy in there who could just fair catch that baby, because those possessions are critical, especially coming down the stretch. Turnovers are huge, but ball possession and ball security is essential for success.
Great stuff. We're going to get more into that. We got the fourth quarter of the show coming up where we're going to talk about the Titans, this matchup coming up this week, and we'll tackle that when we come back. Julio, that's unfair, man. We only got six and a half minutes left in the show, and you start off a segment with Biggie.
Like, how you do that? Two Jersey guys?
You dead wrong, because I don't even feel – I feel like I'm disrespecting the legacy by even talking over this beat.
Just got to let it ride.
You got to turn it off, yo. I can't get no work done. Can't get no work done. We are back, fourth quarter of the show, players only. I'm Danon Hughes, and we got Desmond Moses in the building filling in for our guy, Sean Barber. Desmond, this last quarter of the show, we always tackle the upcoming opponent of the Chiefs. Chiefs have the Titans come in. Now, the Titans, just like the Colts, have kind of been the Achilles heel of this Chiefs during the regular season specifically. For a few years, the Titans come in with a lot of confidence, winning their last five games the way they're doing it, the bruising style in which they're doing it with Derrick Henry. Mm-hmm. What's your thoughts on this matchup and how the Chiefs can come out of this bye week? They went into the bye week with great positivity with the win out in San Francisco. How do they keep that going?
Yeah, I think it's one of those things. You hit it on the head. They've been Kansas City's Achilles heel specifically because of their method, you know, their strategy. They like to run the ball, control the clock, keep Patrick and those guys, you know, Travis off the field. And if you can do that and control the clock, the time of possession game within the game, you got a chance versus Kansas City. You know, they like to get rolling. They like to stay hot. When you run the ball, and it takes 5, 6, 7 minute, 8 minute drives, generally it messes up the chemistry and sometimes the flow for Kansas City's offense. This will be a tough game, but right now, with Kansas City's momentum, the way these guys are playing, we just talked about it, the way they're hitting their stride, I think Kansas City's primed to have a big second half and hopefully run deep into the playoffs.
I tell you, I'm a little bit nervous. If you're talking about it, I know right after this show, we got a gambling show that comes on, and seeing a 12.5-point spread for the Chiefs in the NFL. I mean, we've seen this team obviously win games by larger than that, but it just kind of concerns me because I get flashbacks for many years, and I don't know who it was for you, if there was a specific team, but I played in the 95 playoffs, 96 game against the Indianapolis Colts, where we missed a few kicks, we lost a heartbreaker. We were the number one seed, 13-3, and we lost against the Colts. And for years, I'm talking about decades, I was shook in regards to when the Chiefs played the Colts. And still to this day, there's still some anxiety when the Chiefs play the Colts because of my experience in that, you know, supposedly being the huge favorite in the game and losing and not having the, you know, dreams and aspirations dashed because we lost to a Colts team.
Well, I'm sure you felt some type of way when we lost to them in the playoffs, being up by 21 or something that Dan Casey alluded to. I was part of that playoff game.
Oh, you were on that team.
I was that game, 2013 in Indianapolis. I mean, we were winning. We were down our fourth string running back, man. We lost a playoff game where we had a chance to really be a championship type team.
What was it, 28-point? It was definitely
28-point lead.
I think it was a 3+ score.
100%.
Yeah. So those are the. It's not that I don't have confidence in our team. I think we are a better football team, but I also thought we were a better football team than the Indianapolis Colts when we went to Indianapolis. And the fact that you have a Titans team that has won 5 of the last 6 games against the Chiefs. Can be a little bit concerning. But to offset that, we have had extreme success with Andy Reid after bye weeks.
Yes.
And Patrick Mahomes after bye weeks. And I feel like this is the best time to play a team like the Titans.
Oh, yeah.
You from a linebacker perspective, consciously or subconsciously, I've always said, and maybe you can attest to this, that tackling somebody like Derrick Henry is different in September and October than in November and December and January. And there's times where guys make business decisions to go for that tackle and hit that hard turf, hard ground.
Don't.
Yeah. Versus what they would do normally in September.
Oh yeah.
And so this is a 66 degrees supposed to be a high on Sunday night. This is a perfect opportunity for our defense to reestablish itself. We're going to be down Frank Clark for 2 games, but 2 home games. So there's really no reason, kind of offsets that with the 12th man, the Chiefs faithful, the fans at Arrowhead will be rocking. They'll have a lot of opportunity to get gasoline in their tank during the day, Sunday. And I don't expect anything less from them than to be a huge factor in the game like they always are.
100%, man. Kansas City, they'll be ready to go. I'm excited. I might be in the building. A little gasoline in my system.
There you go.
We're going to take it easy.
Well, we appreciate you coming in, Dez. As you said, you can follow Desmond on Instagram and on Twitter, and you know where you can get me at. Hopefully, we'll be back here next week. Talk about a Chiefs win and a Jacksonville Jaguars team coming in town where the Chiefs can continue to roll, and hopefully something negative happens for the Bills and we can kind of climb back up to that number one spot and be in position to host a 5th straight AFC championship game here. That's a lot of football left to be played.
Oh, yeah.
But I feel really good about where we are and the acquisitions thereof. Kadarius Toney will be a factor this Sunday in the return game. Believe it. And we're going to have fun talking about it next week. Nice peace.
Players Only with Danan Hughes and Sean Barber. Thursday nights at 6 on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Odyssey's Injury Report, powered by Fanatics. Let's look ahead to this week's notable football injuries.
Green Bay's rookie wideout is dealing with a lingering shoulder injury and is considered day-to-day. Meanwhile, Philadelphia's Saquon Barkley is expected to be available for the team's game on Monday night after suffering a groin injury last week.
That's today's report. Listen all season long for weekly injury updates, presented by Fanatics Sportsbook, the home of fair play. Download the app today.
On most sports books, an injury ruins your whole football parlay, but not on Fanatics. They have Fair Play Insurance, which protects your football player prop bets from injury for the entire first half, every single game, all season long. So even if a player goes down early, you still won't take the L. Why risk it if you don't have to? Keep your bets intact and switch to Fanatics Sportsbook. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them, and you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman. New season streaming November 16th. Only on Paramount Plus.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.